How many is glad they go to this church? I'm glad I go to this church, and iron sharpens iron. And Nathan and Alan have both been teaching to the point that it's making me go deeper into my understanding, deeper into my own meditation of the Word and prayer. You'll understand more what I mean by that in a minute. And Pastor Dave is sitting right back there, and he often tells me, Gary, don't ever stop praying in tongues. There's a lot of mysteries we don't understand yet. See, hopefully our revelation is better now than it was 10 years ago. I mean, hopefully we understand more than we did 10 years ago. Because the way Dave says that to me, he says, listen, if we didn't have much more to understand, we'd already be in the revival. Because God's not holding it back for any reason. What scares me is the way Dave says, he's pouring all the revival through us right now that he possibly can. Does that scare you a little bit? Because to me it seems like not very much. So Alan and Nathan have been teaching. They've been saying some things that have rocked my status quo a little bit. And made me go back and check out some scriptures again. And then pray. And I'll just go ahead and tell you this part too. Something has happened in me in the last month or two that really, if I had my way tonight, all I really want to do is talk about Jesus. Amen. I don't really want to talk about the new nature very much. I don't really want to talk about what he's done for me. What if I really had my way, we'd just start going through the miracles of Jesus and all of that. Amen. But I can't help what the Holy Spirit does. I'm not the boss. And when I pray, I don't select. You know, which of you went to class in school and told the teacher what you'd like to learn that day? See, my job is to go. My job is to report to the classroom, read the book, pray, and let the teacher teach. And I'm not responsible for what he teaches back. And I have to trust that what he's sharing at this time is for this time. It's a season for us. It's some things we've got to understand. So Don't worry, you're not in too much danger. I only have five lessons. Some of them are a little redundant. It's not as bad as you think. We'll have you out of here by midnight. Don't worry about a thing. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Now, I'm sure we won't get through all of this. But, okay, we're going to have a little Bible drill, though, part of tonight. So do your fingers like this. Get limbered up now, because get your Bible or your phone or your iPad out or whatever it is you use. Because we're going to stay really close with the scriptures. And let me introduce it like this. Alan and Nathan both. But some things that Alan said. He said, well, and I don't want to take away from Nathan either. One phrase I remember. Alan kept talking about the nature. That when you get born again, you know, it's really the nature that changes. And that's true. How many know that's true? We got a new nature when you get born again. But then, as I was thinking about what he was saying, verses would come to me. We'll get to the particular verse here later on. But verses like, remember that time that they were, Jesus and the disciples were coming back to Jerusalem and they were going to pass through Samaria? But when the Samaritans found out that they were going to Jerusalem, you know, there was a big friction between the Jews and the Samaritans, you know. Well, they wouldn't even rent Jesus a room for the night. You remember that? It'd be like today they'd say, no, we're not going to give you a motel because you're going to Jerusalem, you know. We're not going to rent you a room. You remember what was it, James and John, the sons of thunder? You remember what they said? Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? And his response was, he did not say, you know not what nature you're of. Did he? Did he? Thank you, thank you. No, he says, you know not what spirit you're of. See? So, you know, Alan, we've been talking. You know, saying, okay, now what's going on here? See, because I remember and we're going to look at these scriptures in more detail. I'm just trying to tell you the kind of questions that would come up in my mind. When Ezekiel prophesied about the new birth, God said it to him something like this. He says, I'm going to take out that old stony heart. and I'm going to put in a heart of flesh. Remember that? Well, I've always taken that to mean, you know, he's going to take out that old spirit, that old man, that old nature, and he's going to put in us the reborn spirit, the reborn nature. But then listening to Alan and Nathan, I'm going, now, wait a minute. What happened to that old spirit when he took it out? Spirits don't die. Spirits are eternal. Did he put my spirit in a closet somewhere and lock it up? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question, see? So they got me, I like that. Iron sharpens iron. These guys are preaching so good, it's making me dig deeper, and I like that, see? So I'm just going to lay it out. My job is just to meditate the word and pray. Again, it's not really up to me what comes back. That's the teacher's job. So let's start. How many of you think we're going to start in Romans 8? We're going to start in Romans 8. Just your Bible should just fall open there, you know, Romans 8. While you're turning there, remember Nicodemus came to Jesus at night? He was impressed. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was impressed with what Jesus did. He came at night because he didn't want to be excommunicated from the and lose his Phariseeship. Phariseeship. Whatever. He didn't want to lose his pedigree. He didn't want to get turned in. But so he came at night to talk to Jesus. He was impressed. He says, I know nobody can do these miracles you're doing, except he be of God. Well, he got that right, didn't he? And Jesus starts talking to him and says, look, unless you're born again, you can't even see into the kingdom of God, you know. Of course, Nicodemus, being a natural man, he's thinking, how can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again, you know? And he says, Jesus starts talking to him about a spiritual rebirth. And he says, no, that which is flesh is flesh. Dave taught us so eloquently from that one verse. See, the way I was raised in a denomination, they thought that spirits were created in heaven. And that when the little baby was first formed in the womb of a woman, that God selected which spirit would be imparted to that little physical baby. And that's just the way I grew up, and that's the way I always believed it. And I'm not going to try and reteach what Dave taught now. All of this, I second what Nathan said in the last service. If you have not heard the born-again trail, you don't have anything else to do. You don't have anything else to do except listen to the born-again trail. And if you haven't heard it more than once, you don't have anything else to do. You need to hear it. There's way more than you're going to be able to really get, even in two passings. You need to hear. I don't even know how many times now. Nearly every time I take a trip, when I drive, that's what's playing in my car. Born-again trail over and over. I don't even know how many times I've listened to it. And I'm still getting things. I'll listen to it. How many times have I heard it? And there'll be a sentence and I'm going, when did they add that? You know, and I know they didn't add nothing, but I'd never heard it before. Or maybe there was a brick missing in my revelation wall and now it's there. And so it'll support the weight of that revelation or something. But I really recommend that to you because Dave eloquently taught us on the born again trail about flesh producing flesh. Spirits are not created in heaven. Spirits are created through the law of Genesis. If you want to know the truth of it, God has only ever made two men. God himself has made two. He made the first man, Adam, and he made the last man, Adam. That's the only two that he's made. He told the first man, Adam, which became male and female, but he still called them Adam. He said to them, you go, replenish the earth, multiply, replenish the earth. So he gave the assignment of producing people to people. Adam and Eve produced flesh. They produced people. And the spirit, what makes us in the God class, if you will say it that way, through that law of Genesis, God giving that assignment and equipment to them, through the law of Genesis, when they produce people, a spirit, an eternal spirit, is produced at that same moment. Dave says it at the first cell division, that spirit is created. And it grows up cell for cell, the spirit and the flesh. But when Adam fell, originally, as we know, now this is all review, as we know, God originally created Adam and Eve, created them in the image of God. Remember? Three times in two consecutive verses. It's rare when God repeats himself once, but to repeat himself three times in two consecutive verses in Genesis 1, in the image of God, created he man. Three times. Yet when man fell, he changed. God had warned him. He says, the very day that you eat the fruit thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, it wasn't physical death. Adam lived for 900 and some odd years. But that very day, he died. It's a spiritual rebirth in reverse. He went from life to death. He went from light to darkness. He was no more made in the image of God. And finally, I got it. You know, when God starts, it says, well, Adam, where are you? I thought for years he was talking about the physical location, like God wouldn't know. No. Let me say it this way. I don't see my son anymore. Where is my son? You're not how I made you. Adam, my son, where are you? His son had been transformed to something not in the image of God anymore. I know, we don't really understand the depth of the fall. See, we still don't understand what happened. It's so deep. So even beginning there, even though they had a fallen nature now, not made in the image of God, it didn't take away from the law of Genesis. So Eve is called the mother of how many living? Eve is called the mother of all living. So through the law of Genesis, they would produce people. And it's flesh producing flesh, flesh producing flesh. But every generation, every person born has that death nature now. It has that sin nature, has that fallen nature in it. But it's flesh producing flesh, flesh producing flesh. And the devil thought he had man in a box. Because, again, quoting Pastor, when you can't improve it, you just quote Pastor Dave, right? He says, you cannot get a savior from a spiritually dead gene pool. You can't say it any better than that. So the devil thought he had man in a box because there's no man, no human could be produced that wasn't already dead. How's a savior going to come? How many knows God is smarter than the devil? See, God is smarter than the devil, you know. Now, in my prayer this week, this very week, you know, Adam is called the first man, Adam. Jesus is called the last man, Adam. And in my prayer time, I heard, Jesus does not spawn flesh. Even though he's the last Adam, he does not spawn flesh. Now, that may seem like a real simple thing, but it's not. Alan says all the time, God is not the father of your flesh. God is the father of your spirit. Well, Jesus is your Adam. But he is the Adam of your spirit. He is not the Adam of your flesh. Got that? So I want to read what I've written here because I can't do any better. Hey, you guys used to put up with this all the time. Remember the Dave would hold it up. What did we say? Oh, no. The dreaded yellow pad. Well, now it's the dreaded printed page. But anyway. So I heard that and I started writing and I said, Jesus does not spawn flesh. When Adam spawned flesh, there grew cell for cell a spirit. In the Bible, it's called the spirit of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The spirit of the world. And that spirit grew cell for cell along with the flesh. Jesus is the last Adam. Jesus himself was raised from the dead by the Spirit which is of God. Now, that's Romans 8. I told you go to Romans 8. Look at Romans 8:11. Now, he had me teach on this a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and I didn't really understand then myself how important it was for where we're going now. But we have got to get this. And Dave is right the whole time. Everyone goes say, good job, Pastor Dave. Good job, Pastor Dave. He was right the whole time. See? 99.9% of the church will tell you that Romans 8:11 is talking about the Holy Spirit. But Dave says, no, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about your reborn human spirit. And he is so right. You'll see it so clear tonight before this is over. So Romans 8:11 says this, but if the Spirit of Him, get that, if you underline, Spirit of Him, if the Spirit of Him, I want to say it a little different, the Spirit which is of Him. See, you, when you were spawned in your mother's womb, you had the Spirit which is of Adam. You got that? You received the Spirit of the world, the Spirit which is of Adam. But when you got born again, you received the Spirit which is of Him, capital H, God. Okay? And if that same life, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if that same Spirit of Him dwells in you, then He, that the Father, that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Now here it is, by His Spirit, little s, the Spirit which is of Him that dwells in you. That's going to be important to you here in a little bit. Okay. So now the Spirit that is in Christ, now get this part, both at His conception in the womb of Mary and at His resurrection, never passed through Adam. That's pretty simple for it. We don't have much trouble understanding that. All right, let's take Mary. Here's Mary. little sweet Mary living on planet Earth. An angel comes, talks to Mary. Now, Mary is a product of Adam, is she not? I mean, she's got the Spirit of the world on the inside of her. Her spirit is of Adam. Her flesh is of Adam. She's a little Adam creature. But God sees something in Mary that she will believe His word. And He sends an angel to tell her God's plan for her life. And plainly tells her that she's going to have a child. She said, well, how shall this be that I don't know a man? And He tells her, and it's in Luke chapter 1. We're not going to have time to look at all of this. Much of this is review. He says, the power of the highest. He said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the power of the highest shall come upon you. And that which is conceived in you shall be called the Son of God. Whew. Now look at it. Here's Mary on planet Earth. If you can video is watching here. I got my little fingers here walking on the podium. That's Mary. Now let's look at the life that comes into her. All down through the generations, life has been passed from Adam and Eve horizontally on planet Earth. Adam and Eve, child. Adam, that he gets married. Child, child, child. Flesh producing flesh, flesh producing flesh, down through the generations. And that spirit of the world is passed down to every child, spiritually dead, horizontally on planet Earth. But suddenly, to Mary, this angel says, no, life is coming to you from a different source. It's not going to pass through Adam at all. It's not going to pass through the line of Adam at all. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you vertically. Can I say it that way? And the power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that life that's going to be created in you, that child is going to be called the Son of God. The life that came into Jesus never passed through Adam. Now you don't have a problem with that, right? All right, good. All right. So the first Adam is the father of my flesh. But when I get born again, Adam is no longer the father of my spirit. The life that is in me, now I'm saying this a little ahead of time. We're going to show it by scripture. The life that is in me, let me say it this way, the life that is in you. I write these lessons to myself. Why? I like to listen to good preaching. Anyway. But the life that is in me, the life that is in you, you're going to see it here real clear, never passed through Adam. See, the devil keeps us thinking we are remodeled Adamites, that we're still somehow those same old sinners, just forgiven. honey, you're not even of this world. The life that's in you never passed through Adam. You're going to see that so clear. Never passed through Adam, not ever. You are not a remodeled old creature. You know, that's not what it says. If any man be in Christ, he's a remodeled old creature. It does. How about a forgiven old creature? No, it says you are a new creature. If you look up that word creature, it's not like you to have a chair already and you remodel a chair, put new leather on it and put new stuffing in it, and it's like a renewed chair. No. When it says new creature, that means something that did not exist before. You're not a remodel of nothing. You are a new creature, part of a new species that did not exist before. You don't have a past in God's sight. How forgiven is that? I'm going to read that paragraph again. Be turning to John 5. Some of these are important. Well, they're all important. Some of these I have written on here. Some of them I want you to turn to. Let's say it that way. Be turning to John 5. We've got a couple of verses there. So the first Adam is the father of my flesh. But when I get born again, Adam is not the father of my spirit anymore. The life that is in me as a reborn Christian never passed through Adam. It came from the Father through the Son to me. And you can see that in John 5:26. He says, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." See, and he becomes your Adam. He becomes your quickening spirit. He's a life-giving spirit. Come on, that's John 5:26. Back up to verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is," not shall be, "is passed from death unto life." Now, can you see what happened? You can see it real clear in Jesus when he was conceived in the womb of Mary. The life that came into him, the life that came into that little conception baby, didn't originate through Adam at all, did it? It originated from the Father, came by the Holy Ghost, and directly into Mary's womb, into Jesus, the little baby. What about when he's raised from the dead? Now, I'm really getting ahead of myself. What about when he's raised from the dead? Oh, now, what about that? How did that happen? Can you hear the pin drop in here? It's the same way. God spoke. He said, "This day have I begotten thee." And again, we can look at it later in Hebrews. He says, "This day thou art my son." And again, he says, God spoke from heaven. And the life that quickened Jesus, raised him. We just read it there in 8:11. That life, it didn't come from Adam. It says, if the spirit of him, the life that is in God, the spirit which is of God, that raised up Jesus from the dead. Yes, it came by way of the Holy Ghost. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the life itself. The life that was imparted to him, the life that raised him from the dead, that same life was imparted to you when you got born again. And it did not pass through Adam. It came directly from the Father through the Son, Jesus. And he is your Adam. Jesus is your Adam. You are not of this world. You are not a remodeled, renewed. We got to get our mindset to agree with what the New Testament really says about us. Who we really are. The reborn spirit within us. Now get this. The spirit, I didn't say our soul, did I? But the reborn spirit that's on the inside of us has no residue of the first Adam in it. See, the very fact that that impacts us, those of us who have heard the Born Again Trail, those of us that have heard it more than once, and the fact that when I typed that sentence, it impacted me, lets me know I'm still not there. I'm still not renewed. Jesus would go, duh. Yes, I mean, you know. But the fact that this still has an impact on my brain when I read it, lets me know it's not yet. Everyone say yet. So we had a message about yet. Not yet. Oh, Alan did that. Yet. Not, it's not yet fully formed in me who I really am yet. So the reborn spirit within me has no residue of the first Adam in it. Now your soul does. Your memories do. Your emotions do. Okay? But the real you are, God is a spirit. If you're His child, at your core you are a spirit. Don't get it confused. There is no residue of Adam dogging your tracks. You are God's holy, righteous, reborn child. And He's proud of you. I don't care what the devil says. Amen? It is pure life. That spirit which is of Him, it is pure life from the Father through the Son to us. I am a child of God. Jesus said He was from above. Remember when He said to the Pharisees, I am from above, you are from beneath. All He's really saying, he was saying what I showed a while ago. They are from Adam. They're produced horizontally on the earth. Flesh producing flesh. They are from below. But He says, the life that's in me, it is from above. We are. If you're born again, you are not from below. You are from above. You've been born from above. But I can just hear somebody going, Gary, but do you know how I acted yesterday? We're not talking about the soul right now. We're talking about who you are. Let's find out who we are first, okay? The real you, okay? So we've been born again. We have been born from above, and we are not of this world. No wonder He said in... He was prophetically speaking in John 17, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And they weren't born again yet, but He was already calling those things which be not as though they were. He was prophetically speaking, and it's true. But we're on this side of the cross. And I'm telling you right now, we are not of this world. Mm-mm. No, no, no. All right? So if you want to look at that, that's John 17:16. It just says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now be going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As born-again Christians, we have not received again the spirit of the world. That's the Adamic spirit. That's the one passed down generation to generation to generation. But rather, the spirit which is of God. And that's the one mentioned in Romans 8:11, the spirit of Him. I wish it said the Spirit which is of Him. In our English, it makes it a little easier. But the Spirit of Him, the Spirit which is of God. That's the one we receive. So look at 1 Corinthians 2:12. It says, now, meaning now that we're born again, we have received not the Spirit of the world. That's the Adamic Spirit. That's the one everybody receives when they're first born of their mother's womb. But what have we received? And I'm amazed that they got it right. They got the little S correct. But the Spirit, which is of God. That is identically the same Spirit talked about in Romans 8:11. The Spirit of Him, the Spirit which is of God. It's the, call it the new nature, but it's a new Spirit also with a new nature. Hallelujah. Now... Okay, I don't know if we'll get there. He wants me to say something that I thought would be at the end of these. You know, how often have we taught about Isaac? And how when God asked Abraham to slay Isaac. And we know that that's a type of the resurrection of Jesus. Because, you know, Abraham, he thought about it. He thought, you know, God said that my seed would number as the stars of heaven, and through this boy, not some other boy, says through Isaac shall thy seed be called. And Isaac's not even married yet. He hadn't had no kids. And yet God's wanting me to kill him. You know, you can just see the wheels turning in Abraham's brain going, now, God can't lie. So there's only one conclusion. God's going to have to raise this boy from the dead. But he had enough faith because he knew God couldn't lie, see? He knew God couldn't lie. So he was going to do it. And see, and God looked on his heart. God can look. And God's looking and he saw he's going to do it. And so he stopped him. Because God didn't need him to kill him. What he needed was the faith that God would raise him from the dead. And it's that very faith that God used later to raise his son from the dead. Because Abraham is God's covenant partner. If Abraham can have it, God can have it. Can you see that? If Abraham believes God can raise his son from the dead, then God can use that faith to raise his son from the dead. But now, we seldom talk about Isaac when he's born the first time. See, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Romans chapter 4 talks about Abraham who had to learn two things. Number one, God calls those things which be not as though they were. And the other thing he had to learn was God who quickens the dead. And here just recently, I finally understood the other end of that equation about Isaac. Because God waited until Abraham and Sarah, their bodies were dead when it comes to producing children. Said plainly says about Sarah, she was past the time of the way of women. There's nothing there to even... There's no ovulation. There's nothing going on with her. And we know Abraham wasn't quite the hot rod he used to be. Because she laughed and says, shall I have pleasure from my husband again? And we're in church. That's enough, okay? And I've known that part for years, but only recently did I finally see it. It had to be that way. See, because God looked at... There's something in Abraham and Sarah. That they'd look at them old bodies now dead. See, I'm getting older, you know. It's being becoming, this part is becoming a little more, a little too real to me now, you know. They had enough faith to believe that God, from their dead bodies, could produce life. And that's a type, that's the faith that God used to conceive his son in the womb of Mary. That from the dead species of Adam, God could make new life through his son, Jesus Christ. Isaac is a type of Jesus two times. Not only in the womb of Mary, life from the dead species of Adam, but also then later to resurrect him from the dead. And God used Abraham's faith in both cases. No wonder Abraham is called the friend of God. Abraham is called the friend of God. If I was you, I'd be real careful when you talk about Abraham. So First Corinthians 2:12 again. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Yes, sir. I don't have this on my notes, but go to John somewhere. About 15, 16. It's 16. This is the perfect place to throw this in. I didn't have it in my notes, but he wants it in there. See, when he says, if we read that whole passage there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says the natural man, he can't really know the things of God. They're foolishness to him. Then it says, neither can he know them. The natural man, the one that has the spirit of the world, the one that has the Adamic nature, you can only take them so far. They can't know the things which are of God because those things are spiritually discerned. Now, Jesus told them that back here in John 16. Look at this. John 16, look at verse 12. Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you. but you cannot bear them now. I can just hear Peter. Peter's going, I've heard every sermon that you have preached. I have heard the Sermon on the Mount 27 times. You know Jesus preached that more than once, right? I have heard everything. Why? I'm standing right here. Say on, Lord. But see, Jesus knew. Jesus is going, Peter, I have brought you as far as I can bring the natural man. I've spoken in parables, things that you can understand in the natural world. But until there's a new... He didn't say this part, but we know it from 1 Corinthians 2. Peter, until you're born again, until you have a spirit on the inside of you, which is of God, you can't know the things about God. And you can't really understand the things that He has given to you as your inheritance. But the good news is, verse 13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now get this, if you don't get anything else, the Holy Spirit is the teacher of your spirit. He is the teacher of your new nature, if you'll let me say it that way. I like it better though. He is the teacher of your spirit. Now, let's get one little thing that I do know. There's a lot of things I don't know. I know this much. The new nature is born. Now, not your spirit, but the new nature is born fully mature when it comes to righteousness and holiness. The new nature is born as a perfect moral compass from day one. Right from wrong. You'll know. It's perfect. It is righteous. It is holy from the get-go. Okay? Now, your spirit is not born all-knowing. It has to be taught. That's the very thing mentioned over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that we speak the things which the Holy Spirit teaches. If we were born already knowing everything, we wouldn't need for the Holy Spirit to teach us, right? So, your nature... The righteous, holy nature on the inside of you is born mature the day you're born again. You know right from wrong just right off. But there's a lot of things you don't know. And that's why we keep praying in the Holy Ghost, letting the Holy Ghost bring that out. So let me say this. Jesus Himself, He taught many things. He taught right to the edge of what can be known by the natural man in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But He Himself says, I can't teach you everything you need to know. I'm sending another teacher. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that's why the epistles are so important to the body of Christ. That's the revelation received by the Holy Ghost through these men of God passed on to us to help us understand who we really are. The things beyond the pale of this world. Where He no longer has to speak to us in parables, but He can speak to us directly and tell us things that the natural man would just call stupid. It's foolish to the natural man, but it's not to us. There's something on the inside of you that goes, yes, my Father saves. Yes, my Father heals. Yes, all things are possible. And they'll tell you all the reasons why something can't happen. But there's something on the inside of you that says, don't you know who my Father is?
Amen.
I'm going to preaching instead of teaching here. Look at verse 13. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Say all. We ain't there yet. Do you hear me? We ain't there yet. We're still praying out mysteries. Okay? I thank God for all the truth that's been revealed to us already in the written page. The things that He's revealed to me already in my own time. But like I so agree with Pastor Dave. If Jesus has His way, there's not ever going to be a wheelchair person come in this building and leave still in that wheelchair. Now just don't tell me. You just came too late to tell me it's that there's just no way. There's just no way. If He Himself showed up, you know and I know that person's walking out of here. And until that happens, we got mysteries yet to pray. Amen? So that's where we are. So when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you, not push you, not shove you, not force you, not make you. He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself. That all that means is He's not speaking on His own authority. The way He said it to me one time, He said, the Holy Spirit has not come to be your Lord. He has come to bring you the Lordship of Christ. Jesus. Who is Lord? Jesus is Lord. But the Holy Spirit brings you His mind, brings you His Lordship. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Now, why in the world would the Holy Spirit, want to show? We all know Mike Quitmire. You know Mike's not perfect. Why in the world would God, the Holy Ghost, want to show Mike the things that belong to Jesus Christ? Because in his spirit, Mike is a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And Mike is loved by the Father the same as the Father loves Jesus. Don't throw rocks at me. That's Luke 7. That's John 17. John 17. All right, let me get back here. Man, we're not even going to make it through lesson one. This Spirit which is of God is the same Spirit of Him mentioned in Romans 8:11. It is the life of the Father that was imparted to the Son that raised Him from the dead. And it is the life of the Son imparted to every person when they're born again and raised from the spiritually dead species of Adam. We have been quickened to new life. Romans, you don't have to turn there. Romans 6, verses 4 and 5 talks about that. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ, and that you could say in the same way that Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why? Because we received the same life. Dave said it again one time. Just killed me dead. Still kills me when I think about it. We'd like to think that Paul, the Apostle Paul, we read about everything he did. And oh man. And we'd like to think he received a little more. Surely he received a little more than what I received, you know. But the truth of the matter is, nobody received more. It is the same life that was imparted to Jesus. It's the same life that was imparted to Paul, which is the same life that was imparted to you. Adam never touched your spirit. You are not of this world. You're as pure in your spirit as... Will he say it? Will he say it? He won't say it. Jesus. Because it's the same life. Now, I'm not talking about your soul. I'm talking about your spirit. All right. This is too early to quit. Hallelujah. This is a short one. Go ahead and turn over to Luke 9. We'll look at this where they... where they talked about calling down fire from heaven. I want to look at the whole thing and we'll go a little bit further. Some people are going to be healed. That's tried to be healed. And that's probably me too with, you know. He's already shown me, he's told me, this revelation of who you really are, life will swallow up death even more. Life, as you really understand this life that's on the inside of you, any residual death in your body, life is going to swallow it up. And long-standing things that maybe you've stood for years and seen no answer regarding healing. And right now, I'm thinking physical healing, but I know it pertains to emotional healing and other things too. That life is going to drive that death right out. You watch. Okay, so Luke 9, starting in verse 52. They sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Now Jesus did not say, You know not what manner of nature you are of. They were of the wrong spirit, which does have a wrong nature. Okay. They, at this point in time, you got to understand at this moment, how many born again, I can't say it that way. At this time, Jesus for sure is the only begotten Son of God walking planet Earth. There is no other human vessel on planet Earth anywhere that has the life of the Father in them. So everybody else, even though they're his disciples, and even though they love him, and even though they're following him, they have the spirit of the world in them. That's why he says, "You know not what manner of spirit you're of." But he's the only one that's got the spirit of life, that spirit of the Father on the inside of him. So he says, they were born... So I wrote here, they were born with the spirit of the world in him, as are all human beings when they're born from their mother's womb. This is the product of Adam, flesh producing flesh, every new human born with death working in their spirit. Now, that sentence where he says, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of," the Amplified Bible says it this way, "You do not know of what sort of spirit you are." That's a little more clear. You do not know of what sort of spirit you are. Now the literal translation of the Bible says it this way: you do not know of what spirit you are. Mankind, this is Gary writing, mankind is literally of the wrong spirit when they're first born. When they're born naturally, they're born of the wrong spirit, the very one that would call down fire from heaven. Okay? They are born with the spirit of the world generated in them through the law of Genesis. God doesn't just change our nature when we are born again. At the new birth, we are literally born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit rather than being born of the flesh. It's very similar to how the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and that power of the highest overshadowed her and the life came into that little creature, that little baby conception being vertically. Got that? From God the Father. When you were born again, same thing. That life came vertically, not through Adam, vertically from the Father through your second man, last Adam, Jesus, into you. And it did not come through Adam. Got that? Now, here's a verse for that. John 3:5. I want you to see it and underline some stuff. Now, I'm not... Alan and I have already been talking about this. We're not, it's not one or the other. We're both growing in this, okay? Iron sharpens iron. So don't think, we're not in competition at all here. We're trying to understand what happened to us, okay? And it's answering some questions that we're not going to get to near all of them tonight. And may not get, there's still got questions that I haven't even got prayed out yet. But anyway, I will. I will too. John 3:5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water." Now that's your first birth. How many women, how many children? How many women have had children? Do you have water break? Born of water, can we? Okay. And of the Spirit. Now that's when Alan said that statement that he said, which is so true. He said, God wanted to rescue men. He wants to populate heaven with people. There's just one problem. There's nowhere to get people. except from this, the race of Adam, the species of Adam. See? So you do have to be born of water. You've got to be born of Adam first. Okay? Born of, see what you, can you see that? Born of water and, you got to be both. God does come to that dead species to get people to populate heaven. Adam, so right. It's so right the way he said that. But you can't just be born of water and get into heaven. You got to be born of water, born of woman. Can I say born of Adam? And after that, born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. Flesh produces flesh. Spirit produces spirit. That life came into you vertically, straight from God the Father through the last Adam, Jesus Christ. When you are born again, you are a creature in your spirit that was never touched by Adam. You're not a remodeled Adam. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You want me to stop? Some do. Look how quiet it is. Let me give you previews. Well, the way these evolve, there's a lot of teachers are that way. There's a lot of review and review and review. Let me thank you now. Let me get him on this. Okay, right here would be a good point to do this. We'll do this part and then we'll quit for tonight. When you got born again, there's a change of parentage. This little lesson to myself is called change of parentage. Okay? All right. If we just got through looking at Luke 9:55. You don't have to turn there again. Be turning to John 8:44, though. I want you to see this in your Bible. By the way, I said underline something a while ago in that verse. What I wanted you to underline is born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. You are not a creature of the flesh. You have been born of the Spirit of God. And that holy child created on the inside of your body is called the child of God. So we just looked in Luke 9:55 that they said, Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you're of." Well, we've talked about this all night. Flesh producing flesh, flesh producing flesh, death in that spirit. Jesus, I mean, God came looking in the garden, "Adam, where are you?" He couldn't find his son anymore. Why? His son wasn't there. So his son was not there anymore. The creature he made in his own image was not there. There was some other creature there. Not made in his image anymore. See, and that's years ago I got this part. People say, "Well, why did it take thousands of years and Jesus having to die on the cross? I mean, couldn't God just forgive them?" Yeah, he could forgive them. But he didn't want to just forgive them and leave them the way that they are. He said, "I don't want to forgive you and leave you as this distorted, twisted, sinful creature. I want to forgive you, but I'm going to make a way to put you back the way I originally made you. You'll be my son again, made in my image again." That's God's plan. So what spirit were they of? All right, John, did you find John 8:44? We don't like this part. Jesus talking to the religious folks. Did you know, if you really study that out, you'll find out they were having a conference. It'd be like somebody, be like Jesus coming into one of our big fancy conferences where all the big wigs are there. You know, doctor, doctor this, and Jesus walking up and going, "Well, okay, fine, but you're of your father, the devil." It's what he's doing. "And the lusts of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. See, there was a change of parentage when Adam fell. His nature was no longer like God. His character was no longer like God. He was no longer made in the image of God. No. He became a twisted, selfish, sinful creature. Who's the father of that? Satan is the father of that. You're of your father, the devil. Look at Hebrews 2:14. Here's a good question I wrote here. Who is the author of death? Thank you very much. I wouldn't get that answer in a lot of churches. But he is. Hebrews 2:14 tells you that. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. He defines who it is. Now, normally when you find the word power, it's either one of two words. It's either dunamis or exousia. But this is a different word than either one of those. This one is kratos. K-R-A-T-O-S. And what it means is dominion. It means dominion. Amen. Satan is the one who had the dominion of death. Jesus destroyed him. And if you look up that word, it doesn't mean like obliterate to the point like where the atoms are scattered. It doesn't mean like that. But what it means is to render entirely idle, useless. How many of you are... I don't want to say it that way. Somebody might raise their hand. I myself, I'm not eager for death, but I'll just tell you the truth. I'm not afraid of it either. I'm really not. I've searched my heart. I mean, there's a lot of parts of me that don't want to die. I want to see I've got some grandchildren that haven't had their children yet, and I want to see them. And you know, there's things like that. But really, if it came right, I don't fear death. My Bible tells me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I've got a pretty good feeling. That's better. You know, the fear of death has been rendered idle and useless. It has no power over me. I'm not afraid of it at all. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Your spirit, this is Gary writing, your spirit is either of... Okay, now Satan had the dominion of death. Where does life come from? God is the author of life. Your spirit, when he says up there, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. On planet Earth, there are two types of people. Their spirit is either of death, or it's of life. It is either of the devil or it is of God. You are either in Adam or you are in Christ. There are no other types of people. That's it. You're one or the other. Now I'm going to mess with your head. Holy Ghost said to me the other day, I already bounced this off Alan, Adam is no longer in Adam. Where do y'all think Adam is today? He's in heaven, isn't he? He was one of those that, I mean, God killed that animal, you know, that covered them with that the skin of a dead animal, a type and shadow of the Lamb who was to come and, you know, shed blood. Adam was sorry. He repented. There is no doubt in my mind that Adam waited out the centuries and what we now call Abraham's bosom, it's also called paradise, that place, that holding place, to wait until the firstborn came. But he was there in that group after Jesus was raised from the dead and he comes to that place and he preaches the gospel to them. And they were all quickened to new life. And when he ascended into heaven, he led captivity captive. He took them with him. Adam, when he got born again, it's so amazing, but Adam himself is no longer in Adam. He is of Christ. Now, isn't that amazing? I am not that smart to come up with stuff like that. Adam is no longer in Adam, but most of the world is. Which really means their father, their spiritual father, is Satan. That's why joining a church won't work. That's why good works won't work. That's why giving all your money won't work. You must be born again. It's a change of parentage. You have to go from being a child of the devil to being a child of God. See, we like to think that God... You know, I remember again driving to Houston way back there, 1998, 99, somewhere back in there. And at that time, that song was real popular. We are the children of the world, you know. I can't sing it at all. Dave's right there. I shouldn't even try. But anyway, we're the children of the world. It was real popular. And they had these billboards, giant billboards along the road that had every ethnic face on there you can think of. Black, white, yellow, red, polka dotted. I mean, what I'm trying to, every, you know, Indian, East Indian, everything. And the caption was, "We are all the children of God." And that sounds good, but that is not what the Bible teaches at all. God is everybody's creator, but He is not the father of everybody. Now, this one you got to look in your Bible, Galatians 3:26. There is one way and one way only for God to become your father. Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, not a way, not a truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So I wrote here, I said, God is not the father of all the people of the world. He is their creator, but not their father. God is your father if you have been born again through faith in Jesus Christ. And there it is, Galatians 3:26. Did you find it? It's on page 820. Anyway, Galatians 3:26. And it just plainly says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now, Hindus will argue with you. They'll say, "Oh, no, no, I'm a child of God." No, you're not. I worship at the temple right now. I want to go ahead and say Oprah. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Oprah's got this big thing going about something called believe or something. And she's on purpose going to really affect the faith of millions of people in a wrong way, trying to equate all these other religions with Christianity. It's a doctrine of devils, you know, like Hindus the same, Muslims the same, so forth. No, no. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There's only one way to change parentage, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. God becomes your father when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And then if you don't do it, you can be all the worship. You can worship at a Hindu or a Muslim or whatever temple you want. It doesn't matter. You can do good works. You can pray. You can fast. You can do all of those things. But nothing will change your spiritual parentage except faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You've got to be born of the Spirit. I am too. I'm glad I go to this church too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I know this is running a little long tonight. Hey, I'm being nice to you. There's a lot more. I want to go ahead and bring this part out now, because I mentioned it early on, and he's bringing it back. He's showing me my spirit in the closet. He says, "Don't leave your spirit in the closet." Y'all remember when I said that earlier? Ezekiel prophesied, "I'm going to take out that old stony heart," which is a type of the old spirit, "and I'm going to put a heart of flesh on the inside of you." So my picture, he took out the bad and he put in the good. But then I got to, now if he's really talking about my spirit, where did it go? What happened to it? See? Well, Alan is right in this. Now, here's what really happened. There is only one place for God to get people to populate heaven, and that's from the dead species of Adam. He does take your spirit. Your spirit doesn't, he doesn't take it out and put it in the closet. He doesn't take it out and poof it away. He doesn't send it into the lake of fire, that old spirit. No, he literally quickens it. He takes that, whatever spirit is made of, that whatever that is, he takes it. It's Adam in reverse. How Adam, remember how Alan says that he blinked. And when he ate that apple, he blinked. And he went from one creature to another creature. That happens in reverse when you get born again. But the spirit that quickens you to life is not from Adam. It is such a recreation. It is the first one does not exist anymore. You are a new creature, not a remodeled Adamic creature. You are a new creature that did not exist before. That spirit on the inside. If he was walking through the garden and God saw you, he'd say, "Oh, I see my son. I see my child. I see you." How? He knows you because you're made now in his image. "Ah, there you are. I've been looking for you." He'd recognize you because you look just like him. You're made in the image of the firstborn. Ephesians 2, he says, "We're in time past." He just means before you got born again. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." See, that's that spirit of the world. "According to the prince of the power of the air." That was your father. "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Did you know that that Ephesians, that's written to the Ephesians, they were some of the most religious people on planet Earth. They worshipped Diana. You remember in Acts chapter, whatever it was, this great tumult, you know, because Paul and his disciples were coming through and the idol makers were losing their business. Nobody was buying idols anymore because they were preaching Christ and getting people saved. And so they caused this great tumult in the city. And they all gathered in this big arena. And for 2 hours, picture this now, 2 hours, they chanted, filled this whole auditorium, this whole magnificent thing. "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." The temple that they built for the goddess Diana was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It took over 200 years to finish building it. These were religious people. People came from everywhere. People came from everywhere just to see this great temple to the goddess Diana of the Ephesians. And yet Paul says to those religious people, "In that times past, you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worked in the children of disobedience." It didn't make a lick how religious they were. They still had death in their spirit. Another place to that same in the book of Ephesians, I didn't write the verse down. He says, "Before you came before you were born again, you were without God and without hope in the world." And they were religious. They worshiped at the temple all the time. Don't tell me it doesn't make any difference. Amen. You can worship Diana or Vishnu or Allah or whatever, and it will not make you a child of God. Amen. You will not be born again. You must be born again. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. Amen. And the world will hate you for preaching that. And He said, rejoice when they do. Rejoice when they persecute you. "For so persecuted they the prophets of old," and I gotta quit. Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in us. Oh, Father, I just wanted to talk about Jesus. I just want to talk about Jesus. But for some reason, it's in your mind that we learn these things right now, Father. So, Father, we just thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the understanding that you're bringing us. Thank you that iron does sharpen iron. And Father, thank you that you're bringing us into the fullness of these mysteries, that the revival that you've told us about will come to pass, that in this very field, this building and this field, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the maimed will be made whole, Father. And you'll even raise the dead right in front of our eyes, Father, in Jesus' name. You'll have this revival and the world will know that Vishnu is not God, that Allah is not God, that there's only one God that's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the world will know it and the glory of the Lord will cover this earth like the waters cover the sea. And I gotta quit in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.